Hello and welcome to the Relocation Next Practices podcast presented by Whitegood Relocation Resources. My name is Tim McCarney. I'm the Manager of Marketing Communications, and today we're joined by Vince Carita, Senior Vice President of Whitegood Financial Services, who, as he does once a month, will be discussing the latest mortgage trends as they impact corporate relocation. Vince, as always, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Tim.
Whenever we talk about mortgages today, the subject always turns to the interest rates, which are currently at or near historic lows. In this environment, should companies be covering origination points and or discount points for their relocating employees?
Well, Tim, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've been in the industry almost 25 years, and I've never seen rates this low. You're looking at 30-year fixed rates now under 4%. Sometimes 15-year fixed are under 3%. So it really doesn't make much sense for companies to be covering origination fees or discount points, because what you're seeing or what we're seeing is that, you know, if you're covering, let's say, for instance, 2 points, you're seeing a floor on the investment market. And what I mean by that is that the Fannie Mae's and Freddie Mac's are putting a floor, or putting a bottom rate, saying we're not going below this rate, and we'll make up, we'll say the rate's 3% today for argument's sake. If that rate may represent a 1 point quote. If a company is paying 2 points and they think they're getting, the transferee is getting the advantage of a lower rate than that, they're not. So what's really happening is that companies are spending money in areas that they really shouldn't be spending money on. So, to me, in this market, no company should be covering an origination fee or discount points. It's just the rates are too low as it is.
Well, for those companies that are covering origination fees and discount points, are there things they should be aware of regarding specific policy wordings?
Yes. Things have changed. In the last year, you know, it's funny. We, as an industry, we're trying to become more transparent, and a lot of the regulations that have gone into effect over the last year or 2 years have created a transparency, which I think is great. However, there is opportunities for mortgage lenders and banks to bundle other fees in the origination fee. So that's one area that can really create less transparency. So a couple of things to note in your policy. One is be flexible. If you're going to cover 1 point, be flexible and say origination fee and or a discount point, because certain states, believe it or not, origination fees are not, you're not allowed to charge an origination fee. So you want the lender and the bank to have the flexibility to identify on the HUD as an origination fee or a discount point, depending on the state requirements. The second thing, which is very important, is to make sure you quantify or cap that fee. So in other words, if you're covering 1% of the mortgage amount, you want to put in your policy, we are covering an origination fee and or discount point up to 1% of the mortgage amount. This will eliminate those other fees from being piled into the origination fee, and you might look at something that's 1.5% on the origination fee, because they're basically hiding fees under that umbrella.
Well, then, how can a company provide flexibility in their relocation policy to meet these changing market conditions?
Well, the best way, and a way we see a lot of companies doing it today, is through a sliding scale mechanism. And what I mean by that is the origination fee or discount points will look something like this. And it's really predicated on the market. So if the market says, if rates are under 6%, we as a company will pay zero origination fee, zero discount points. If the market goes above 6%, is between 6 and 7%, the policy will automatically adjust and says, now we will cover 1% or 1 point origination fee or discount point. If it goes above 7%, the company may want to cover 2 points. So this way, you're getting, as the market increases from a rate perspective, you are giving real value to your transferees as far as purchasing the rate down a little bit. And depending on the culture, there's not too many companies out there in today's market that are paying 3 points, but if that was the culture of the company, you might want to go from 8% higher, you'd pay 3. What we're seeing today, a lot of companies are paying 0 or 1 points. We still have a few companies out there that are paying a total of 2. In the market, but I would recommend that program, the sliding scale program, for all companies, because I think it automatically adjusts your policies to reflect the market conditions that you're experiencing in any year or so on.
Okay, last question. How have temporary buy-down programs been impacted over the last 3 to 4 years? Is this something companies should still be considering?
Well, the temporary buy-down programs have been impacted greatly over the last couple of years, and historically, companies have looked at buy-down programs in a as a way of getting the transferees more purchasing power in a high-cost area. that is really has been eliminated. From the secondary market, Fannie and Freddie, even if you're going into a high-cost area, let's say the rate is 5%, it's really a lot lower than that, but let's say it's 5% and your first-year rate is 2%, historically, you could take the 2% and qualify that transferee at the 2% rate, which would give them about, probably in the range, depending on loan amount, a ballpark figure of about 24% more purchasing power. That feature's been eliminated. So even if you apply the buy down, the transferee has to qualify at the note rate. So you're not getting any purchasing power, which takes away a lot of the impetus for temporary buy downs. Now, is there still value there? There can be. I mean, I think if you're offering a cost of living allowance and if you're grossing up your COLA, there's still value in a buy down because you don't need to gross up a buy down because it's imputed income, it's interest income to the transferee. So by taking that COLA that you're grossing up and applying it to a buy down, you're going to save the gross up. If you're not grossing up a COLA, it's really minimal. The only advantage or the only thing you're offering a transferee is ease of payment shock. In other words, if you're a transferee living in one particular area, moves to another, a high-cost area, can afford the mortgage, but the mortgage is a lot higher. And his monthly payment is significantly increased from his old payment. A buy-down can ease that shock for him for a number of years. You're not getting the purchasing power that you used to get. You're really only getting that ease of mortgage payment shock. So I would say if you're grossing up a COLA, a buy-down still can be effective, but if you're not grossing up a COLA, other than that ease of payment shock, you're really not providing any benefit to the transferee.
Okay, well, as always, some excellent information, and we thank you very much for your time. If anyone wants to get in touch with Vince, his email address is in the post in which this podcast appears. It's vcarita@wrri.com. Vince, we'll have you back in another month, and we'll check on mortgage trends then.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it.
Thank you.